dad that was sitting in church, and the pastor took off his watch and he put it on the pulpit, and the young son said, "So dad..."
...2022 and after February 24th, 22. That's when what they would call the full-scale invasion began. Russia invaded Ukraine, bluntly. It was not expected. They were hoping it wouldn't happen. It did. There's daily attacks that continue. I was talking to some folks last week, and they said in the last week before that they had up to 17 air raid warnings per day and night. It's continuous. It's estimated that nearly 400,000 Russians have died in this war. The president of the Ukraine recently announced, as part of a presentation, that there was about 30,000 Ukrainians that died. Far, far, far more Russians have died than Ukrainians. And there's no end to the war in sight. So it is a crisis. The war began not in 22, but actually in 2014. That was when Ukraine was invaded by Russia. They annexed Crimea. Full-scale invasion happened in 2022. Since that time, 10 million Ukrainians have left the country, and Ukrainians fighting on. But I'm not going to talk a lot about the war. I want to talk about the ministry that's happening. And the ministry is a turbo ministry driven by God, and God's hand is at work in phenomenal ways. We've had a privilege of visiting Ukraine a number of times, and this is the one time that I actually got to go to the Mennonite area. This is the village where my father was born in the south of Ukraine. It's now occupied territory. The Russians have taken control of this area, and it's occupied by them. I'm privileged to have a heritage of faith. My ancestors went through five different countries, Netherlands, Poland, Ukraine, Mexico, and Canada, for 14 generations, going back to the earliest one that we can trace back is a fellow that was a grain trader in Amsterdam, and was born in the year 1479, and went to various places largely because of faith. We're privileged to not just visit Ukraine, but have friends there, and to be able to spend time with believers in fellowship, and it's just very, very sweet. Traveling to Ukraine is a little bit of a challenge. It used to be you fly into a nice airport in the city of Kyiv. It's not Kiev, it's Kyiv. And we fly in there. You can't fly there unless you're delivering a fighter jet. Now you fly into Poland or surrounding countries and then take land transportation to get there. And it's fairly normal to take a night train. And we've been privileged that wherever we go, we have friends that meet us, no matter what time or night. Yep. We get there at 3 o'clock in the morning, and they're standing right in front of the platform waiting for us.
They're not just on the platform. They're in front of the door when we step off the train. They've been told ahead of time by the people that put us on the train where we're going to land. This is a lady, her name is Tanya, and she has two little girls. And a year ago, on April 1st, her husband was killed in the war. She is a very good friend of all the people that we work with and support in Ukraine. And it was a devastation for not only her, but all the community as well. And she's had to live with this now for almost a year. And it's been really, really tough. We were privileged to go there last fall, and I brought some things from Canada. Believe it or not, ring pops are very popular there because they've never seen them before. So if you got kids, you know what a ring pop is. It's a lollipop on a ring.
So the little girl said, ah, diamonds.
She didn't know what to do with it at first. She was very impressed that she could eat it. But yeah, for us, like we have been going to Ukraine for many, many years with missions. We made the choice to go into a war country. People told us we're crazy. But we look at these people that are living this war. They live with it every single day. And for us to be there for a short time, our risk is, there's a risk, but it's not huge. We travel to areas that aren't really in the main target area of Russia right now. But it changes. It changes daily. Like the first time we went down to Ukraine, we were supposed to go there on a Monday. They attacked Sunday night extremely, and we changed our plans and didn't go until Thursday. So we try and make choices, but we also know that we have a sovereign God, and for us to be here on earth is to serve Him, but if we die, we go to heaven. So we've talked about this. We've talked about it with our children and grandchildren, and we feel that we are in the center of God's will when we do this.
It's a different kind of travel. You know, we're used to buying the cheapest tickets we could get. What we do now is we buy tickets that are fully refundable because we need to be able to change them. We normally buy travel insurance. Regular travel insurance doesn't cover anything in Ukraine. You have to buy war zone insurance if you want insurance. And it is available, but there's one company in North America that sells it. That's it. So it's a different perspective. We've regularly asked the people in Ukraine, why should we come? Not to say you need to convince us, but to say we could send you $10,000 instead, or whatever amount of money. Like, wouldn't that be more useful? And they've told us on a number of occasions that, I said, well, I'm actually not that good of a speaker. And they said, yeah, you're right, you're not. And that's okay. I don't take offense with that. But they said, you bring a ministry of presence. And I'd never heard that before. They said, by your coming and being with us, you're encouraging us and telling us, not only do you care, but you're telling other people. And it tells us that you folks have not forgotten. And that is so important to them, to know that you here care about them as believers that are there and are praying for them. If they have one prayer request that they make over and over again, yes, they want the war to end, but they would say, pray that we would not grow weary of doing good. Because if there's a danger, if there's a pitfall, if there's a problem, it's growing weary. It's just getting tired. Because they're in the third year of war now. And it's hard. But it's exciting. There's Christian camps in Ukraine. If you went to a camp in Ukraine, and we've had the privilege of visiting a number of different ones, a lot of them pretty much look like Rosa River or Red Rock or you name the camp. The kids are there. They play games. A lot of very similar things. But the camps are different.
No.
It used to be that you had to have permits from about 17 different government departments in order to operate a camp. They were very good at bureaucracy. Now you go to one office, and it's the military administration, and you say, can we do a camp? And they say, they'll have a question. They'll say, do you have a bomb shelter? And do you have a generator? And if you do, you can do a camp. So it's very simple. Now, a bomb shelter could be a church basement. It happens. A lot of the camps took in and continue to take in refugees. So the group on the left-hand side, that's a group of farmers from the Kherson areas to the south of where the Mennonites were. These farmers had all their land stolen, all their land taken, all their tractors went to Chechnya, and they bought their grain The Russians came and they bought their grain. They bought it with counterfeit money, so it was worthless. But it was at gunpoint. So they're, you know, it's not just the cities, it's the farmers. They're trying to now clear the landmines from some of their land. They're dodging unexploded missiles with their combines when they harvest. Things that we just never imagine here in what they're doing. But the camps took in people. They've been operating for many years, but they've changed. Normally, we would have somewhere in the range of 600 camps. This past year, we had 450, a bit more camps. We trained 3,000 camp leaders, and we had over 50,000 children involved in Christian camps this past summer. And we're expecting this year to be close to 4,000 leaders that will be trained and about 55,000 campers that will be put through the various camps that are happening. God is using this in a major way. But one of the biggest things that's changed is that the counselors and the staff need training in other skills.
And they're young.
There are 90% of the camp workers this year are new because a lot of the others are at war and doing things. But God is equipping the camps with new leaders. But one of the things that they now need is skills. And how do you handle trauma? How do you handle the effects of war in the campers? So there's a lot of time spent in training them in those things. These are just some of the camp leaders that we've had a... This is a past conference. We don't gather them as big in numbers at one time. We have more smaller conferences. It's just too dangerous to get 500 or 1,000 people together at one time. So we're doing much smaller events. This is the team of camp workers. Of these, three people are in Ukraine. One is here in Canada. The guy that has a haircut just like mine is in Steinbeck. He's the CEO of the organization, and we evacuated him to Canada because he's actually a Russian citizen, which is not a healthy thing to be in Ukraine, and he's leading the mission from Steinbeck.
So Gerald is on the board of this organization called Christian Camping International. This organization doesn't actually run camps. What they do is they train camp leaders. So it's a little bit different than some, like if I was going to say, okay, so you want to support this kid to go to camp. You can still do that through us because we give grants to the different camps. But the organization actually spends most of its money on training staff.
Yep. So we could talk a lot about the different camps, the refugees, the work that was done in providing funds for heating and insulating, turning them from summer camps into refugee centers that could house people all year long, because they do get winter in Ukraine as well. They also work in five other countries of the former Soviet Union, Moldova, Georgia, Armenia, Azerbaijan, and Tajikistan is where we also provide staff training and those activities. There's a lot of other missions that we've had an opportunity to interact with. One of them is called Shelter. It's in an area in central Ukraine. And they do phenomenal things in youth ministry. This is their Christian soccer club. They have over 300 children that are involved in their soccer teams.
It's like Youth for Christ on steroids. They have, I don't know how many ministries now.
Oh, at least a dozen.
Yeah, at least a dozen different ministries. They started off as a community center for arts and, like, as in drama and pottery and soccer. And they have the best sound studio for recording music in their facility.
I always thought that I was going to do some agricultural consulting after I retired. This is the only agricultural consulting that I've done. These guys called me during the height of COVID and said, Gerald, we plowed our soccer field. What should we do now? And it was like, well, you shouldn't have plowed it, but they were looking for seed. We were able to find some seed, that Imperial Seed, actually, in Winnipeg, had sitting in a warehouse in Germany. High-quality seed. I thought, how are we going to get that over there? The biggest problem we had was proving that it was not GMO. Who cares?
For a soccer field.
For a soccer field. But we got it there, got a beautiful, beautiful soccer field. They have a problem now. The grass gets worn out by the number of kids that they have playing. They're building another field now with an artificial turf. It's a phenomenal opportunity. You know, it's a problem to wear your soccer field out because you have so many kids. So let's build another field. And those are the kinds of things that they're doing.
And the soccer program is definitely, it's like a kids club. They have Bible lessons every single time they come for practice. And they do a lot of character training on the field.
So in addition to agriculture, this is how we started our ministry in Ukraine. Canoeing. I did. They asked me to go there to teach them how to teach canoeing. at a boys' discipleship camp. So we spent I spent two summers doing that, and saw that there were some needs, and we developed connections. It's not because I love Borscht and Vareniki.
Oh, he doesn't like Vareniki.
I don't actually like Vareniki. And you know, I found something. We think all of these words, Borscht, Vareniki, are German or Mennonite words. They're not.
They're Ukrainian.
But we inherited it.
But they like the fact that we have a Ukrainian heritage.
Yeah.
Because both my parents were born in Ukraine and his dad was born in Ukraine.
So what I want to tell you is that God is at work. God is doing phenomenal things in the country. He is enabling churches that had 1,000 people before the invasion, where 80% of the church left. They took their children and went to safety in Western Ukraine or other places. Those churches now have 1,200, 1,300 people in the church, people that have never been in a church before. God is doing phenomenal things in spreading his word to people that are looking for hope that goes beyond the hardships of this world, hope that goes beyond the war. It's yes, they pray that the war would end, but they want to know that there's something more. And God is doing phenomenal works through various things. We've been involved in family education, home education in Ukraine. We've met with the Minister of Education. The education system in Ukraine, largely the schools are either online or in shelters in very limited periods of time. So everybody's looking for how else can we do things here. So there will be actually a Christian homeschool and family discipleship conference that's happening in July in Ukraine. Kevin Swanson, who visited your church last spring, will be speaking there. Really exciting. People are looking for how can we raise our children in God's word.
And they're looking for parenting advice. The education, they think they can figure that out. But the parenting, they've all grown up with their mom and dad working and grandma sending them off to school. They don't know what parenting is.
So the guy that's in the picture with me right at the bottom there, right in the center with a beard, that is the Minister of Education in Ukraine. He, before he was appointed, was a frontline soldier. He said being a frontline soldier is a lot easier than being a cabinet minister in Ukraine. Just the things that they're dealing with, they are home educating their kids. And he's very interested in how can we reform their educational system. So our time is basically up. The question is, what can you do? We would like to invite you to come to Ukraine with us. You say, oh, I don't think so. You can. What we would like to do is that we don't go to Ukraine unless we have at least 500 people that are praying for us. That's the foundation that we want to have before we leave. And I'm going to be going there in May. Bev's not coming this time, but we'll probably be going in May and July and in October with different events. And we would like you to come with us. When we go, every day that we go, we send back an update that basically said, what's God doing? What are the needs? What can you pray about? So we would like to invite you to come to Ukraine with us. We will send you an update every day while we're there. Sometimes by the end of the day, it's kind of hard to write. But we believe that taking an army with us is the insurance, is the protection, is the covering, is the foundation that we need to do. So we would invite you to come with us and to join our Ukraine prayer team. That's the reason that we're excited to be able to come here, is we would love to add you to our prayer team. I know some of you already are, and we appreciate that so much. And we have some sheets at the back if you'd like to sign up. If you like email, we can email it every day. The same thing is also available on a Facebook page. And if later you can't remember, just talk to Diane. She can help you do it all. So thank you for listening. Thank you for praying. Thank you for encouraging. Thank you for not forgetting about Ukraine. And as they say in Ukraine, Zhakayu. Thank you.
Thank you, Gerald and Diane, for sharing that. Thank you. It's good. What? Gerald and Bev, sorry. I wasn't going to get that wrong. It just came out automatically. But thank you for sharing that. It's good to hear what God is doing, and it's a good reminder to us to not forget and grow, not to grow weary in praying for you as well. Our next missionary is Jeremy and Jackie Warren. Our family has known Jeremy since about 2014, 2015, when he started. He was in Shania's Miller class all 3 years, and Miller grad. He has been in Italy for 3 years as a solo missionary, and he found a wife and found a good thing, and so he gets to go back as a married man now. And so that is what they're going to be sharing about. Come on up.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's really great to be here. We're really excited to come and get to be a part of your church this morning and to get to share and to see a couple familiar faces. And we're really, really excited about that. And so just thank you for the opportunity to come and share. And as Don said, we are Jeremy and Jackie Warren. So I grew up here in Winnipeg in the city. I've known Don for nearly 10 years, which sounds crazy. I feel like I've come home on this home assignment and realized that I graduated high school 10 years ago, and I'm married, and everybody who I knew who was a kid is now, like, grown up, and I'm going through this crisis of feeling how old I am. Turned 28 this year, so I'm like, oh, man, that's nearly 30. And we're really excited to get to be here. And so we are church planting in Messina, Italy. You can see Messina is down south. Italy is the boot, and then Messina is on the island of Sicily. And we got the little circle up there. So it's right across from the mainland. Messina is where the ferries run back and forth from mainland Italy to the island of Sicily. And we're with an organization called Avant Ministries, who does church planting in unreached areas all around the world. Since 1890, they've been doing that, reaching the unreached. Formerly, it was called Gospel Missionary Union, GMU. Switched their name 20-ish years ago to Avant. I moved there in 2019 to Messina, was part of a church planning team. Met a wife, not in Italy, but in Northern Ireland. You can come ask us for that story maybe another time. Probably don't have the time this morning. So how did me in Italy, meet a Northern Irish girl, and now end up back in Italy and Canada and everywhere we are. But anyways, we're going to go back to Messina, and we're just really, really excited to get to do that. I got to Messina initially really from, I realized looking back after my time at Miller, that God had really kind of put this call on my heart to do ministry right when I finished high school. I'd been serving in a camp and seeing God work in a couple cool ways, and you're in that headspace right when you graduate of what am I going to do with my life and where am I going to go, and whatever I choose in this moment is going to define like the whole rest of my life. And so seeing God work in some cool ways in camp, I remember saying to my brother one day driving home that if I was going to do anything with my life, it may as well be telling people about Jesus. And it wasn't necessarily a specific huge moment right at that moment, but looking back, I see that God had really, from then on, directed me to, I was going to Miller, and I finished my degree, and all throughout that time, if you'd asked me what my plan was, it would have been that I'd love to graduate and become a missionary, because I'd always been surrounded by missions. My mom had been a missionary, and when missionaries would come and share at church like this, I just thought they were the coolest. So now I'm like, man, maybe I'm the coolest, because I'm the missionary coming to share. But anyways, I always just thought, never really felt drawn to be a pastor, but was like, if I'm going to do full-time ministry, missions just seems like the coolest option. And initially, that's what I thought, and kind of over the years, God really kind of clarified a call on my life, and I became passionate about the local church and the need for churches and getting to share the gospel, and so God clarified that calling and brought me to Messina to be a part of a church planting team in 2019.
And so we've been doing a lot of actually like reflecting since being here, and Jeremy can look back and see how God was really clearly directing his life, and it's often not until we are in the present and we get to look back we can say, oh, that was God the whole time. So I actually felt called to missions when I was really little. When I was 9 years old, my primary school teacher asked me, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said I wanted to be a missionary. I don't actually come from a, I have come from a family who used to attend church but no longer do, and I don't have strong Christian roots, so for me to say that at 9 years old was clearly the Lord, because that was kind of crazy that's what I wanted to be when I grew up. I wanted to be a missionary, and I wanted to tell people about Jesus, and I'm so thankful for that. My granny was a huge influence in my life, so I really do credit a lot to her influence as well. I should probably say, yeah, I'm from Northern Ireland, which is part of the UK. Said, well, if you really are passionate about missions, visas are hard to get, so do something that will get you a visa. So I did a primary teaching degree so that it would help me be a missionary in the future. I didn't know when, I didn't know how. I did some short-term missions. When I was 18, I actually spent a year in Mozambique with One Mission Society. I was teaching there and working with some of their churches that they had partnered with. But then I came back to the UK, I did my degree, and I was like, yes, God, it's time to go. Send me back to Mozambique. And he didn't. And he very clearly challenged me in what I thought a missionary was, what I believed I should do. And he said, I want you to be a mission in your hometown. I want you to be a mission in Belfast. And so I actually, the church I was attending partnered with Avant Missionaries. So that's actually how we met. Sorry, I'm spoiling the story. And they were church planting in a part of Belfast that is statistically unreached. So it's less than 2% evangelical Christian. And there are no churches in that pocket of Belfast. So I worked with them for 2 years. And yeah, it was during that time that God really gave me a heart for church planting. I think I maybe hadn't really realized the importance of church planting, and I really hadn't realized the importance of church planting in Europe. As someone from Europe, I thought, oh, Europe's great. We've got historic Christian roots. Statistically now, Europe is less than 2% reached. Like, we are the least reached continent. We may have these deep Christian roots, but most faith is nominal, and there is a lot of secular influence. So I really have a heart for Europe. So if anybody is interested in Europe, I'm glad to hear that you guys are in Europe. Talk to me about that. I would love to see. I just think there's such a need for Europe, and so I'm really passionate about that. And so God really put that on my heart, and yeah. And now He has directed us back to Italy. And so why Sicily? About a year ago, we'd been married for a few months. Yvonne asked us to take some time together to discern where we should go. We shouldn't just go back to Belfast because that's where I was. We shouldn't just go back to Italy that's where Jeremy was. We should really pray and discern as a married couple where was God leading us. We spent some time praying and seeking God and what were our gifts. How could he direct us? How could he use us together? And it was during that kind of prayer retreat we really came out and realized that we both love working with kids and young people. We both have a lot of experience with that. We both love using sports to build connections and relationships. But we're so convinced in the importance of church planting because we believe the church is God's primary way of reaching local people. It's through the local church. And so we hope to work with kids and young people in Sicily, but that will always be under the umbrella term of planting a church because we want to see people come to know the Lord. But if there is no local church, then they can't grow and develop in their faith. And so that's why we're so convinced in the importance of church planting. I'll let Jeremy talk a little bit about Sicily.
So Sicily is a really unique place because there are these really deep historical roots with the church, and the Vatican, of course, is in Italy. I guess technically not, but it is in Rome. But there really is this mishmash of secular ideas coming in and just nominal Catholic faith, but also just a really spiritual climate where the classic response, if I were to ask any young person there, like what they believe or do they go to church, would be, yeah, I'm definitely a believer, but I don't go to church. And I would say 95% of people I ask, that's what they would say. I'm a believer, but I don't go to church. And so there just is this association with church, this idea that because I'm Italian, I'm Catholic, and I'm covered. But there really is a lack of any biblical knowledge or personal faith. And practically, how we've seen faith kind of expressed is through a lot of superstition. There's deep belief in like spiritual things and in karma and in spirits and warding off evil spirits, all these types of things. And a lot of what I did was outreach through doing sports. And there was this one, the first season I was there, we'd gone through this stretch where a couple people were injured and we'd lost a couple games. And the chatter in the group chat was who would come around and curse our team. And that was what they were trying to figure out to cause all of these bad things to happen. And they believe in this thing called the evil eye. People can have the evil eye, and so they can go around and curse the team and cause these things to happen. And so even though there's this deep church roots, there's also this secular side, but then there's this spiritual side. And so it's this whole kind of mishmash of conflicting ideas that I think results in most people just pursuing whatever they feel like, whatever their desires are, and trying to just live for themselves and find happiness however they can. And so that's kind of the spiritual climate. We put this picture up for why Sicily, because it's really impacted us. This is the group photo from a camp. So I feel like all the things they were sharing about, we're like, man, it's the same thing in Sicily. There's camps, there's sports outreach, there's all these things. So this was a camp that was put on by there's a couple churches that collaborate and a couple different missionaries. So our church group, we helped run this camp. There's some missionaries from YFC who help also put on this camp. So this was the last year that I was there, the summer of 2022. We had about 70 or 80 of us there, youth and young adults. And Jackie and I were just at a youth retreat for my church in Winnipeg last weekend, or 2 weekends ago, one of those two. And we took a group photo just like this, and it's been interesting for us to compare those two, where that group photo, which was about 60 youth and young adults, represents kind of the future of one local church in Winnipeg, one of many local churches in this area, whereas this picture represents the believing youth and young adults for a population of 5 million people. Sicily is the largest island in the Mediterranean, and with a population of about 5 million people. With the church connections that we have a pretty good idea that these are really the only local churches around the island all working together. These are the youth and young adults from all of those churches. And so where our group of 60 represents the future of, you know, one local church, this really represents the future of the church in Sicily. And so that's really impacted us and kind of put it into perspective how great the need is there, why we need to go, why we need to share the gospel, and why, we just need to see more people come to know Jesus.
And so there have been some changes in the church planting team since Jeremy's been there, which means that we don't exactly know what it's going to look like when we go back there. Right now, it does look like we will be the only missionaries in Sicily. It's kind of a cool thing. Most of the other missionaries have been moved away for really good things, and you can see how God's directing their lives in different directions. That just really re-emphasizes our call that we are supposed to go back. God's amazing, and he is clearly moving pieces in ways that we, in our human narrow-mindedness, can't see what the impact's going to be, but we know that he is doing something. And I think how he has so clearly directed people has just made it really clear to us, like, God's moving the pieces, and we get to be a small part of that, and we are so grateful, but we are so thankful that he knows the bigger picture of what the future church in Sicily is going to look like. So previously, Jeremy was involved in sports, and we are really excited that we will be able to hopefully use sports again to reach children and young people. There's a picture here of beach volleyball, which was an outreach that they did through Fusion Athletics, which was the sports association that they formed in Sicily. Fusion Athletics would run sports events like beach volleyball, but then they would share the gospel, and they would kind of be given, they have asked permission to share the gospel already through using Fusion Athletics as a Christian sports association there in Sicily. We also know that we have opportunities with refugees, and Jeremy at one point was in schools teaching baseball as well. So we're excited for all these opportunities, but we just are learning to hold them with open hands and knowing that when we're there, we're excited to see the doors that God's going to open. But despite all these opportunities, our plan is always to plant a church. As I said, we believe that the church is God's primary way of reaching his people. And so all these activities and ministries will always be under the umbrella term of planting a church. And I think it's important to say we're not going there to plant a Canadian church or a Northern Irish church. Our hope is to see Sicilians come to know the Lord, for us to disciple and mentor them, but for them to be the next leaders of the church. We really want to empower Italians to be the leaders of the churches. So it will never be, oh, Jeremy and Jackie are pastors of a church. It will always be Italians are leading these churches. And that's our hope, to see an Italian church planted in Sicily, and hopefully with the ongoing impacts of that.
Yeah, and something I like to say that at least impacted me as I thought about it was when I moved to Italy, I wasn't doing anything that I couldn't have done really here. And I think that mindset challenged me as I grew up, that I couldn't just wait to be a missionary and go overseas to live on mission. But there's opportunities for all of us everywhere. And, I went and I played baseball, and I went out for pizza, and I invited people to my home, and that's what gave me opportunities to share my faith. And so there's no secret recipe to becoming a missionary. It's just living faithfully where we are. And I think that's something that's encouraged me as I've talked to Don and heard about your new church here, is that that's part of the culture of this church here, is wanting to be a presence here in the community and living out your faith. And it doesn't take anything special. And so I hope that that can encourage you guys here, is you can live your faith out anywhere you are. It doesn't take the official title or job description of being a missionary, but this is a call for all of us as missionaries to do that. This is my friend Graziana. Graziana, I feel like she's just like the hope and the dream of what we live for as missionaries, is to have stories like Graziana's. She came to know Jesus because she got to know my colleague Hannah through playing softball. And so it was through this connection in the sports world that Hannah was able to share her faith with Graziana. She didn't grow up at all in a believing home. Her mom even was Buddhist for a little while. So she had a lot of different influences in her life. And yeah, it was through Hannah's witness on the sports team that where she was able to hear the gospel and give her life to Christ. And then even it was through attending this camp that we showed the picture of where God spoke to her in some big ways at that camp, and she made some really big life decisions to follow Jesus and to set aside relationships and family and all these different things. And so she'd been saved just before I moved there in 2019. And to see her growth since then in the last 5 years has been the biggest encouragement for me. And we hope that we have so many Graziana stories. She's now, she's just this, has this fiery personality. As myself or Tim would preach in Italian, she would have no issues pointing out when we were making our Italian errors right then and there. But she would be the same with anything that we said. She'd challenge that with, what does the Bible say? Does it mean this? Does it mean that? And she's just super fiery and passionate about her faith and sharing her faith with her family. And she's done some short-term missions, and she started dating this other guy who's a believer, and she's made him go on mission trips too, not even with her. She sent him to Africa by himself to go do mission trip, because she's like, you got to do it and you got to experience this. And so she's just so passionate about sharing her faith wherever she is, in her workplace or with now her softball teammates or her family, all these unbelievers. And so we're praying for more stories like Graziana's, and that's what gives us hope that God is definitely at work in Sicily. We can see so tangibly that her life has just changed in so many practical ways, and so we know that God's at work there. And this verse encourages us, this is the generation of those who seek him. We put that on the wall in our church building, and this is kind of, defined what we do. We want to see a new generation of Sicilian believers and Sicilian churches rise up across the island, and so that's what we're passionate about wanting to see. And we think Graziana is a piece of that. She's so, so sweet. And so right now we're in this season of preparing to go back, and so we are looking for partners. We love how Paul talks about it. He talks about, here in this verse in Philippians, thank God every time I remember you because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I love how Paul approached that. It's not that he was looking for donors. It's not like he's looking for just financial backers, but he's looking for partners in the gospel from the first day until now. So these are our first days as a married couple where we're going out. And so there's a lot of different ways you can partner with us. First and foremost is definitely prayer. We need prayer because, you know, stories like Graziana's absolutely are impossible without prayer. There's no way that we could ever accomplish some sort of life change like that. But it's just through the Holy Spirit. It's just through God at work in someone's life that those stories come about. And so we need people to partner with us in prayer and to be, backing us with prayer. And we do need, if you're interested in that, come find us afterwards. We got prayer cards. We have a Facebook group with regular updates. We send out regular email updates as well, so you can come get on those, and then you'll be just informed as to what's happening in the ministry and how you can pray for that. We are also looking for financial partners in order to go. We need to have our finances in place, and so we need one-time gifts to help with all the costs of getting over there and setting up. And we need people who can commit to giving regularly as well. And so that's how our organization approaches it, is we have primarily monthly supporters who give, which is what allows us to be there. And so we would invite you to just prayerfully consider. If God's putting that on your heart, we would be so honored to talk to you about it. And obviously, we're not here to pressure anybody or anything like that. But if God's putting it on your heart to partner with us in that way, we really would be so, so honored. And so as individuals, as a church, if you consider that, we are just so grateful. We're so grateful to come and have the opportunity to share and say this is what God's doing in a different part of the world. And though we're the ones who get to go, and we'll be the ones who are there, we're excited to offer you a glimpse into it and just invite you to be a part of it however God would put that on your heart. So.
And I'll just say, if you want to hear more, we are kind of in Canada until June. We're doing a trip, but we're kind of in the Winnipeg area for the next few weeks. If you want to go for a coffee or learn more or just hear me talk in an Irish accent, like, please come do that. I would love to, yeah, we would love to chat with you and share more about what God's doing in Sicily. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you guys for sharing that, and let's take it to heart. Let's pray for them. Let's consider supporting them, and it's good to hear that God is working. We've seen him work here in our church, and he's working around the world. It's such a big picture, and it's beautiful to see. I will close in prayer, unless you have something else, and then we can have some coffee. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the good news of the gospel. Thank you for those who are willing to go. And I just pray your blessing upon them. Ask that you would continue to open the doors and pave the way and provide for their every need. Thank you for this morning, for the opportunity to worship together, prepare our hearts as we go into our service. In Jesus' name, amen. Be in the back, if you so desire.